Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans, chapter 14. I want to read a verse here. I'm going to speak to you topically today. We will be looking a little bit of this verse itself, but this is really an introduction to the idea of what we want to express, and it is encompassed in our text. Romans 14, verse 8 will be the verse that we will concern ourselves with. 14:8. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Well, we just passed the July 4th holiday. It is a day of recognition and a day of celebration because it marks the independence of the states or the colonies from Great Britain. In fact, isn't the 4th of July called Independence Day? About 10 years ago, they came out with a movie by the same title, Independence Day, and that was the day when Earth gained its independence from alien invasion. So I'm sure you're excited about that information. Well, we hear and talk a lot about independence. We are led to believe that all men are created equal and that we all possess certain rights called inalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, I hate to burst anyone's bubble, but there's really no such thing as men being created equal. While we are created, and that necessitates a creator, we are not born with equal status, equal educational opportunities, equal financial positions, equal emotional and psychological makeups, equal physical abilities, equal parents, equal circumstances. I need not go on. We just are not all created equal. I do believe, however, that we possess equality in inalienable right of life. We have the right to live by God's grace and by His mercy. And we have also the right to liberty among men, but only if God sovereignly decrees it. And we also have the right for the pursuit of happiness, but only to the extent that it really is a pursuit of contentment. For we shall not all possess the circumstances which we would deem to be a state of happiness, but regardless of the circumstances, it is possible to be content in Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is real happiness. And now, what about this matter of independence? Do we who know Jesus as Lord and Savior really possess independence? Oh, we are free among men. Yes, we are. Because of God's national blessings that are upon us. Also, since we're free, saved, we're free from the bondage of sin and death. What a joy that is. But are we absolutely free? Are we independent? Do we want to be independent? Now, I realize that Grace Memorial Baptist Church is an independent Baptist church. And I think we all understand what that means among men and denominational authority. But are we truly independent? Well, I read in the Scriptures how that Jesus is the head of the church. Therefore, this church only has the right to do what the head wants. We are not independent of Jesus, nor do we want to be. No saved man is independent. No country is independent. This universe is not independent. Why? Because there is a God in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but along these lines, I don't want to be independent. I want to be and am absolutely dependent upon God. I want to speak to you today, again, a topical message, and ask the question, are we independent? We have some things to plug into that question as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace upon us and allowing us to be in your house. And Lord, just speak to our hearts through your word that we might be encouraged. That, Lord, though you've given us great benefit and privilege as Christians, great benefit and privilege as citizens of this great country, we are not independent of you. So cause us by your grace and mercy to be submissive and responsive, faithful. We pray if there's anyone here that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. Grant unto them repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. We'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory. Lord, we love you today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Are we independent? Now, as we think about this, I want to look at the text again for a few moments. For whether we live under the Lord. Whether we die under the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And now, there are some things I want to point out to you as we concern ourselves with this matter of our independence. We look into this text and we find that there are two modes of existence. We see that there is life and there is death. There is life and all that pertains to it. Whether we live. We live under the Lord. So whatever your life consists of, your activities, your thoughts, your expressions, your relationships, no matter what it might be, whatever life consists of for you, whether we live, that's what life is. And whether we die, two modes of existence. Now I understand that from our perspective, death is the finality of life, that we live until we die. But the manner of death and what that death expresses and what happens after death. Well, it's really death and everything that pertains to it. The Bible teaches that man, when he dies, does not become annihilated, but he continues to exist, so there's life after death. And the truth of the matter is, you look at the text and it's very clear for us, there are two modes of existence, whether we live or whether we die. And we'll be involved with all of that all the rest of eternity. And we're going to live for a little while, but then we're going to die, and everything that pertains to that death, it will be involved with that. Where we go after we die and so forth. Two modes of existence, life and death. But you also look into the passage and you find that there's one sovereign ruler. Notice it says, we are the Lord's. That's what it says at the end of the verse. Now, whether you live, you're God's. Whether you die, you're God's. Whether they're dead, they're God's. We are the Lord's. You say, oh, well, certainly I'm a Christian. I know that I'm saved. I have a home in heaven. I'm the Lord's possession. Absolutely, we understand that and accept that. But if you're here and you're not saved, I want you to understand you're still the Lord's. No matter who you are, what you are, whatever your life consists of, you are the Lord's. And so there are two modes of existence, and one sovereign ruler, and then very clearly we find in the text that there's a non-discriminatory application. Whether we live, therefore, or die, it makes no difference. And so as you continue your existence and your life, the rest of your life, then you're God's, and when the manner in which you die, you'll be God's, and what you do after death, you'll be God's. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And I submit unto you then four thoughts in conclusion of this text, and then we'll introduce some subjects in regard to the title of itself, Are We Independent? And the elements of which I have divided it into. But before I do that, four things. First of all, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know what, is only goes as far as God is concerned. I have life as long as God grants me life. I have liberty as long as God grants me liberty. And I have happiness or contentment as long as God grants me happiness or contentment. I am wholly dependent upon the Lord. God is the sovereign God. He is the ruler of the universe. He still sits upon His throne. But then let me submit unto you, secondly, that being a product of grace, you are under Christ. For some reason, there are some in our society who make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and then believe that, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die. I can do whatever I wish. I am free. I can do and go and say and be whatever I think. And for some reason, they believe that salvation is an absolute independence from God. That just is not true. We who are saved by the grace of God, and we become the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still under Christ. And so we must keep that in mind, even as you may desire to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's all under Christ. That should be our main goal. Number three, I believe that a desire for complete independence is a desire for rebellion. Now, I'm not opposed to independence. I like independence. I'm glad for the freedom we have in this nation. I'm glad that we can come and worship here today and not be persecuted because of it. But there are those who want absolute independence. Most kids, as they grow up, kind of get to that little phase in their lives, especially in their teenage years, where they figure they want to cast off all authority. And they want to stretch their wings, and they want to become independent. Well, you can do that to an extent, and we want the children to learn and to grow and to develop and to be independent individuals and be mature and responsible persons, but not absolute independent of all authority. That should not ever be the case. Again, we just go back to the very basic premise. We're under God. We cannot be independent of Him and do not want to be independent of Him. And if you desire to be independent from God, you have a rebellious heart. If you're one who says, I don't care who God is and what God says, I will do what I wish, that's a rebellious heart. And we must, therefore, bring that rebellion unto the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to bow your knee and submit to Him. And if you're saved, you need to get some things right in your life. And if you're not saved, you need Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then, number four, to claim independence from God is really to incur wrath. Lost people, as they deny the Lord, as they deny the existence of God, will go about and think that they are free to do whatever they wish. They can act in a manner which is becoming to themselves, and if that means murdering somebody or taking what something that somebody else has, then if that's their desire, they feel that they can get by with it. They believe they can believe whatever they wish and behave and think and proceed in a manner which they only desire. But there is no such thing as independence from God. By the way, dear lost person, you must remember that the Scripture records for us that those who are lost are children of the devil. And the lust of your father you shall do. Even though you think that you're free from God, you're not free from Him. You're under obligation to the devil. And the final analysis, God still reigns on high. He is still on His throne. And so just lock it in your brain very clearly. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. So are we independent? Let me submit unto you some of these thoughts, and then we have many references to look at. There is an insert in the bulletin that gives you these references, and you can look at these. Are we independent in our conduct? Now, part of that is found in our verse that which we read. Whether we live unto the Lord. What about our life? Are we independent of God in our conduct? Well, you can glance back at the end of chapter 13 and notice verse 14, the exhortation, the command that is given there, that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We do not, as Christians, have the right to claim a liberty to do whatever we wish whenever we feel like doing it. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are not absolutely independent in our conduct. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, we are told, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's how our life should be consistent of. Colossians chapter 1. Book of Colossians chapter 1. Notice Colossians 3, I'm sorry, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The first part of verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Kill off those old deeds. Yes, I've been saved. Yes, I'm a child of the King. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have liberty in Jesus Christ. I'm no longer under bondage and enslaved to sin, but I do not have a liberty to do whatever I desire. My liberties extend only to the will of God and to God's sovereign purposes. That's my responsibility. In theological terms, it's the matter of being lawless. It's called antinomianism. People want to throw off the law, throw off the commands of God, and that now that they're saved, they can do whatever they desire. That just is not biblical. We are not a lawless people. But we're under law to Christ. Now, we're not under the laws and the commands of that. We have to keep these things in the legal precept so that we must be justified by them. No, sir. But we have an obligation to our God and to our Savior. Are we independent in our conduct? No, we are not. We are free as long as Christ desires us in our lives and the things that we do to serve Him to be found faithful. That's our freedom. Let me ask you a second. Are we independent then? In conversation. Can we do whatever we wish? Can we say whatever we wish? Turn, if you will, to James chapter 3. Book of James in chapter 3. I submit unto you, dear Christian friend, that yes, we have so much in Jesus Christ, but we just cannot do whatever we want and really cannot say whatever we want. James chapter 3, verse 8 says this, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Should I, as a Christian, on the premise of my liberty in Jesus Christ, be able to speak anything that comes to my mind? Absolutely not. Aren't there many things that come to your mind from the past, or things that you hear and things that float in that the devil will introduce even to your thought pattern, that they're not proper? You can't repeat those things and ought not repeat those things. If you work in a place of business, most place of businesses are very crude. And if you're fortunate to work in a Christian environment and with godly people, oh boy, that is really a grand blessing, and you ought to thank the Lord for that. But most of the business out here is not like that, and your coworkers are not like that, and so you're liable to hear all sorts of things, and you hear all kinds of words, words that you don't like to use and words that you don't repeat. And you'll hear nasty, dirty jokes, won't you? Well, I worked in a machine shop for years, and I'll tell you, they talk like sailors in those places, and they tell jokes like that. And fortunately, they had enough respect for me as a Christian and as a preacher that when I would come in, they would cease their dirty joke until I got by them, or they would cease the way they were speaking and clean it up a little. I was thankful for that. But you know, there are those who make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ who still curse like sailors, who still speak like these off-colored things and tell things that they ought not to be telling. Should we, out of the same mouth, breathe blessings and cursings? Do we have the right to say whatever we wish? We do not. Over in Colossians chapter 3, let me read to you verse 17. It says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, in word or deed." Doesn't that verse encompass both of these first parts? Are we independent in our conduct? No. Are we independent in our conversation? Absolutely not. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13. You'll go back to the left just a little bit if you're still in James. Hebrews chapter 13. As a matter of fact, what we find here in this verse is the antithesis. We don't speak those evil things. We need to speak good things. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." I submit to you that just because we're free in Jesus Christ doesn't give us the right to say whatever we desire to say. We don't have the right to tongue lash and to criticize and condemn and do what some people do under the name of Christianity. And under the name of truth, by the way. I've heard people say some of the vicious things, and they say, "Well, it's true." Well, it might be. But the attitude and the expression certainly wasn't correct. And so we do not have the right, do we? We're not independent, are we, in our conduct, nor in our conversation? Turn, if you will, back to John chapter 14. Let me submit unto you in a third aspect. We are not independent in commandment. Are we as Christians without command to God? You say, "Well, we're free. We're at liberty. We're free from the law of sin and death." That is true. But are we free without commandment? Are we independent? John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. Sounds to me like there's a responsibility that we have to the commands of God, to the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23 of the same chapter, John 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. What do you find, my friend? You find that there's a responsibility that all who name the name of Jesus Christ have toward Jesus Christ to follow his command. We are not free to do whatever we desire. We are free only to pursue the commands of Jesus Christ and to obey God and keep his word. That's where our freedom extends. 1 John chapter 5, let me read to you verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It should be our desire to be submissive to God, not independent. Not to throw off the yoke of God, because the yoke of Jesus Christ is easy and his burden is light. We ought to desire to bow our knee to our Savior and not to try to figure out ways to get around his desire and his will. We are not independent. We should not strive to be independent. We should not want to get away from God and his authority, because we are not independent of him. And even if you think you may be, you never shall, because God still reigns. Are we independent in conduct? No. Are we independent in conversation? No. Are we independent in commandment? No. We still desire to love our God and to follow him. Let me ask then in the fourth sense, are we independent in congregation? Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. And I alluded to this in the introduction, but we'll just make a reference here. Ephesians chapter 5. Can we as a church say, well, we're an independent Baptist church, and no one tells us what to do, and we can do whatever we wish, however we see it to be done? All we can is an autonomous body. However, that doesn't give us the liberty to practice in whatever desire we think. It must be what God thinks. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 23. I know these things are familiar. It's old hat to most of you, but we trust that these remembrances are helpful. Ephesians 5:23 makes the comparison between a husband and a wife and their relationship. Wives, submit yourselves. Oh, I'm sorry. I just went to 22, but we'll go ahead and read it since it's there. My wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for, here's verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. You glean the marital regards there as you find in the text. But what we're emphasizing is our obligation as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to the head, who is Jesus. And it's our responsibility as the membership of this church then to be seeking the Lord, to be seeking his face, to be in prayer and concern and reflection over the activities of our assembly, the choices that we make, the decisions which we pass down, the money that we give. We need to be on board with the Lord. God, what is it that you want to be done? What is your will? How should we conduct ourselves? What kind of a church should we be? I mean, really, and we see a lot of this in our society because there's such great competition in the world among churches. And so it almost becomes like a business against business. And so we'll do all these marketing things and we want to do this and we're just drawing in the people and we'll do whatever we can to get them in. Well, I don't believe that's an accurate way to do that. I believe it's necessary for the church to say, Lord, what is it you would have us to do? So should we abandon some of the truths of the Scriptures in order to be seeker-friendly? Should we just make it possible so that people can come in and feel good and leave feeling good? Even though they're lost and going to hell, we want them to feel good, and so we can pack this house up by just tossing aside the truth, and we just won't preach anymore, and we'll just make everybody feel good, and we'll do this and that and the other in order to draw them in? Is that really what we should be doing? Or should we be understanding that we are under obligation to the Lord because he is the head of the church? And therefore, we must conduct ourselves in a manner which is becoming to the Lord. And so we will preach and we will teach and we will stand for the truth. I said for many years, just joshing about this, if you wanted to fill it up, up in Ohio where I was at before, we had a board that listed the songs. And I just kidded with them, but I said, you know what, we could have a hymn lottery. You know, if you can guess the number, then you win, you know. And so, well, we could do that. We could fill up the house, couldn't we? I could tell you how this house can be full next week. All we got to do is put an ad in the paper, say free beer. And we'll have this place packed out next week. You don't think that would happen? Are you guaranteed you put a free beer out there and had a sign there showing up? Would that be appropriate? What do you think the head of the church would do about that? Do you think he would appreciate that? I would imagine he'd be getting real close to going over there to the candlestick and snuffing out the candlestick. And God will do that in his own time and his own schedule for individuals. He'll take care of that, those churches. But the truth is, are we independent in congregation? No. It is my obligation as a pastor to seek the Lord, to try to discern his leadership and direction and try to express that to you. It's your responsibility as a lay people of the church to pray, seek the Lord, and see whether that's right or not right. And you seek the Lord and the leadership, and we can be on the same page what God wants. Isn't that really what it should be? It's not the pastor's church, and it's not the deacon's church. It's the Lord's church. And therefore, our church is not independent. We're independent of any earthly body. No denomination can tell us what to do, but we're not independent of Jesus. He is the head, and so we're not independent congregation. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. Let me submit unto you in the fifth sense, and this is very obvious from the text. But are we independent in commission? Matthew 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Do we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ have the right to choose a commission other than the commission which Jesus Christ has given unto us? We do not. The commission that we are to fulfill is to evangelize, baptize the converts, and then train them, disciple them. That is our commission. That's the extent of the commission. That's what we need to be interested in. Do we have the right as a church to say, well, we're independent, and we're just not going to do any of that? We don't need to tell people about Jesus Christ. And we won't baptize, and we won't teach people the truth after they've been saved and baptized. Do we have a right to do that? We do not. Because God has given to the church, not only is Jesus the head of the church, but he has given a commission to the church, and we as an independent Baptist church has only the right and the commission to do what God wants us to do, and that is exactly as he laid down in the Scriptures. We need to be a witness, we need to share, we need to support those that do those things as well. That's missionaries. And we need to be active in evangelism. We need to be a witness. We need to baptize those who are saved, not before they're saved, but after, with a proper understanding. We talked about baptism last week, and then we need to teach and to train. Are we independent in the commission? No. We have rules and guidelines, what God has laid down for us. We're not independent, are we? Not as independent as you thought we were. We're independent only as far as God is concerned, and God is the one who's on his throne. Now, when you think about our text, and one other thing I want to mention to you before I reach my final thoughts, and I'm going to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Are we independent in conclusion? And that's not the final part of my message. I'm not saying in conclusion. But I'm using it as an expression in antithesis of the, remember the verse that said, whether we live unto the Lord, and we talk about the conduct and everything in life, and so we mention conduct, conversation, and congregation and all that. But the verse also said, whether we die unto the Lord. So not only are we not independent in our life, we are not independent in our death. And that's why I say in conclusion, when we come to die, when it's the end of us, are we independent? Do we break free? Well, I'm dead now. I'm out of that world. Whoo, boy, I'm glad that's off. Don't have to worry about God anymore. You really think that's going to happen? Whether we live under the Lord. Whether we die under the Lord. Are we independent? In conclusion, when we come to death, no, we are not. Philippians chapter 1, notice verse 21. Philippians 1, 21. Paul wrote and he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I what not." He just had a difficult time because he says in verse 23, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." They said to be staying there with them is helpful for the church. You know what? One of these days, truth is, all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ are going to come to die. And we're not independent in that death. Because when we die, what happens? We leave this old earthly body behind and we go to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that excite you? Don't you look forward to that, to seeing Jesus face to face? Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Whether we die, my friend, we're not independent. We never break free of a sovereign God. And personally, I don't want to. Do you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Therefore we are confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Whether we live or whether we die, whether we're present, whether we're absent, we're serving our God. We want to be well-pleasing to the Lord because we are not independent in our conclusion. Whether we live under the Lord. Whether we die under the Lord." Now, I've just given you these six items just for your consideration about your independence and my independence. And I know there is a sense of independence that we hold to it very dearly. We do. And I do not mock it. But we are not independent of God. And we are not independent of His Word. So finally, let me say, and I'm not using the words in conclusion because I just used them. So finally, three things. Number one, we need to recognize that there is a coming judgment for all the saved. Right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where you're still at, look at verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Romans 14, verse 10, the last part of that verse says, "For we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Romans 14, 12 says, "So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." No independence there, is there? We shall give an account. So we need to recognize there is a judgment coming upon those that are saved. We will give an account to that. Therefore, number two, we are not independent of God. So let us not live like it. I had a message I preached years and years ago. I don't remember when I preached it, but I remember the title. It says, "Vacation from God." And it's the matter and the concept of, you know, people go off on vacation, they just seem to forget. And they feel because they're away, they're in a different town, that, well, they don't need to read their Bible, they don't need to go to church, you know, they don't make plans for any of that, and they go to places they would never go and be with people they would never be with, and they think that they're on a vacation. And, well, we're going on vacation, and so we don't need church, we don't need any of that stuff, and we just, we'll go to the bars, we'll go to the parties, and we'll do all these things. Can you really vacation from God? I mean, can you really just get on a bus or a plane and take off and drive in a car if you had enough money for gas and get somewhere and leave God behind? Can you really do that? You can't, can you? We cannot vacation from God. And we are not independent of God. So let's not try to be. Let's love our Lord and say, Lord, what is it you would have me to do? Because we're not independent of Him. And then the last thing is this. The reason why we are subservient and dependent upon God is what we find in the Scripture. If you're still in Philippians chapter 2, or you can turn over there, I'm going to read verse 9 through verse 11. Why is it that if I name the name of Jesus Christ and I believe that He's my Savior, yes, I'm free from sin, I'm set free from the bondage and the constraints of the devil and so forth, that I don't have a liberty to do for the occasion of the flesh, as Paul expresses to the Galatian people? Why is it that I want to be dependent upon God? Why is it we are dependent upon God? Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lost or saved, no independence there. All honor, all glory is bestowed upon Jesus Christ. And so we can read in Romans chapter 14, verse 11, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Are we independent? No, we are not. We are not. We are obligated to God and to His Word. And may God grant His grace to rest upon His believers so that we would respond well as servants, loving our Lord, being in submission to His hand and under His authority. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I'll tell you, you're not free from God, though you think you are. You cannot escape Him. You have an obligation. The command has gone forth. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. You're not free to live your life however you choose. You are obligated to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the command of God. You're not independent, even as lost people. You need the Lord. Would you be saved today? Would you respond? Would you trust in Christ? Would you call upon Him for mercy that you'd be saved? I'd like for us to stand and sing, and I want you to reflect upon these things today about, oh, we love our freedoms in this nation, but we're not independent of God. May we be responsive to God in like manner. Let's stand. Father in heaven, thank You for the day, and thank You for Your Word. Bless it to our hearts, and Lord, draw us to You. Help us to recognize our responsibility before You, that we would be found obedient by Your grace and by Your mercy. We pray if there's anyone here today who is not saved, that You would convict them, draw them to Jesus, and save them today. Cause us to realize, O God, that we are absolutely dependent upon You, and You deserve all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And it may not be given to You yet, but it shall be one day, for every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess, so that You'll be glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?